When you can't agree on what to order or you're settling for whatever, mealtime can be a major. That's where Wonder comes in. Download the app for access to everything you're craving. Mix and match hundreds of freshly prepared dishes from menus by renowned chefs, delivered in one order. Say goodbye to compromise. From poke to pizza, it's all on Wonder. Use code WONDER50P for 50% off your first two orders on Wonder. Wonder, the cravings expert. Get the app today. Terms apply. See wonder.com/newcustomer for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, indeed. It's lunch with Dan Zangrilli right here.
what an intro, huh?
What an intro. That thing just keeps on, has a life of its own.
Yeah.
How are you today?
I mean, I'm all right. As an old news anchor here used to say, I'm reasonable. How are you, Bob?
I'm more than reasonable.
Yeah, I know. You're always good. Everything's good with you all the time.
You just got to have a good outlook on life. That's
all
it is.
Yeah, that's it, man.
Hey, I want to remind you, the Sports Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can never can count on much in society, but you can count on them on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every day on Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We're getting started with a whole new pitching coach staff, apparently. I'm just curious your point of view. Dan, you've covered this team all season long. You've been there beginning till the end. You've done post-game shows. You've talked to players and coaches alike. Were you surprised that Oscar Marin was included in this?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I heard some stuff percolating the final couple of weeks, and that obviously surprised me because, right, if we're going to be talking about where things are, where they rank, top three in this with starters, top five here, top 10 there, you would say that by all accounts, everything's going swimmingly well. And one discipline of the organization where everything else isn't going particularly well, the pitching is. So to move on from that, I think it kind of screams that maybe not necessarily, I don't want to say like internal strife or anything along those lines, probably it sounds like it was personnel driven. Does that make sense?
In other words, somebody's not happy with the philosophy or whatever's going on there. I don't know.
And I don't know if it's necessarily because, listen, I mean, you look at the numbers and the body of work is there, but perhaps some area to get better, I guess. I don't know that for certain, but basically everything that I'm hearing, it's almost personnel-led that, okay, yeah, while we're doing well, there's probably opportunity there to be even better and maybe a change helps us get from here to there.
So the management team remains intact. Don Kelly, which is not a surprise to me. I thought they liked what he did, and he was never given an interim status anyway. But Ben Cherington, back for another year. You're number seven after 6 years of the results not being anywhere close to where they thought they would be or where they projected them to be. How surprised were you?
Yes and no in that, and I said this with the afternoon guys yesterday, I think 2027 is very much a factor in this, and if the organization feels that we're heading to doom an impending lockout, did they want to upset the apple cart and what little progress there was and whatever is going well, the few things that are, do you keep that intact rather than starting over? I do believe that change would have been made if 2027 wasn't a factor, because I think it's hard to justify the body of work after 6 years and not accomplishing much of anything, right? What, 5 of 6 last place finishes?
Yes.
That's really hard to reconcile, really hard to justify. But considering they're literally between a rock and a hard place with 1 year before You think baseball is about to shut down for potentially a year, and then coming out on the other side of 2027, what does everything look like? Well, then maybe you just try to shoot your shot here in 2026, and the least worst of the options is to try to stick with the guy who got you there, even though it's a really bad spot, right?
Yeah.
And then just try to run it out and see what he could do. I mean, I don't think either option is particularly appealing, right? What's your option? The guy that has done what he's done or not done, or having a regime change of somebody trying to come in for just 1 year, parachute in November, and try to make chicken salad out of this?
Yeah, I understand it, I guess, but I don't agree with it because I still think I operate, and I have since Paul Skeens came to town, with the notion that this window is all open, and it's open because of Paul Skeens. They have opportunities to win with a Cy Young guy, and yet they really haven't done all that much. And so he's part of that.
And what does that look like after 2027, I guess? That's the
dichotomy. How about if there is no work stoppage? How about if they just continue to play? Who knows how this is going to turn out, but I'm not even concerned about that. I want them to have a chance to win next year, and the best way to do that is to have someone who makes shrewd decisions. The question is, can he make them? He hasn't made a lot of them, especially in the trade department. And then the free agent signings, I know, go above him because they're told, here's the budget. I would hope that the budget would increase, and that's why I wanted Bob Nutting to be available yesterday to ask him point blank that question. Why can't you spend $130 million? What's the reason behind it? And I'd like to hear what the answer is, because I don't think the answer will be what I want to hear.
I mean, I think we kind of know what the answer is, Bob, though, based on the independent reporting that's been done over the last 2 years, is they don't have it. And that's not, and you disagree?
I disagree.
Okay,
I think they can lose money and still valuation of the franchise goes up. I think in order to win, you have to be willing to go into the red once in a while,
like Kevin McClatchy did,
like a lot of owners do, and like, some are like successful. Kevin
well, let's talk about Pittsburgh.
I just want to see him make a more of a commitment. You can't tell me in a market size that's similar to all these others that they can't bump their payroll up to $120, $130 million. Why wouldn't you?
I mean,
they're making money, Jan. They have to be making money.
I mean, two independent reports, Bob, say otherwise. Unfortunately, like categorically, I mean, the Post-Gazette reported on it. DK reported on it.
How much access do they really have to make those reports?
Now, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I guess, do you believe those independent reports? Let's start there.
I want to hear from Bob Nutting specifically.
100%. He should have been there. I agree with you. 100%. He should have been there to face the music, right, and answer, and not send his president and general manager out there to answer some of these questions. Now, he's spoken, I guess, one-on-one independently, but not in a press conference setting in a long, long time. I agree with that 100%. To be available, to look everybody in the eye, and not say what he said in a statement, but say that in person. 100%. I agree with that. I think payroll, actually, it's not going to go to $120 million. No way. Probably maybe $100 in this offseason, but I don't think that we can just completely dismiss 2027 as being a non-factor here, Bob.
I understand that, but I also operate with one last year of Paul Skeens, and I want to see them go out and make something of this next season. If I'm going to be interested in their team, and I love baseball, and I want to see interesting baseball come here, I'm sure they all do, too. I'm sure Paul Skeens does.
Sure.
He knows that they're going to have to do better. So you can say to yourself, well, that payroll can't go up all that much because we don't have the means. Or you can say, we're going to just spend it. It doesn't matter. We've made money. I disagree with all the notion they've never made money. I think they make money every year.
You do? You think?
It's my gut feeling that they make money every
year. Well, I mean, I don't have anything. I mean, you're saying your gut feeling. I don't trust my gut. I'm trusting everything that I've heard and read.
But I want to know, reports. I want to see more. I want to see them open books and prove it then.
They should, 100%. They should do that. But no other owner does that, and probably bad precedent, right? The only publicly available data that's out there to see the books, I think, are the Atlanta Braves. And the Braves, while they make some money, I don't think their margins are all that substantial.
So the best case scenario is hope for a work stoppage and hope they get a salary cap in the floor.
I think so, yeah.
Do you think the Pirates will support that? Do you think they want that?
I do.
So they're going to be forced to spend a lot more. That's okay.
But also, if you have a floor and you have a cap, I think there's a lot more money flowing in the game. I think the Pirates do have revenue problems to the extent that they can't dig themselves $10, $20, $30 million in the hole and deficit spend, as you're suggesting here, year after year after year. Okay.
I'm not saying year after year. I'm saying right now because of the Paul Skeens
window. And then it doesn't work. Okay. Well, then what do you do the next year?
Try. You keep trying.
I understand. So then you're $30 million in the hole. Then you have to scale back payroll significantly. Okay. So let's hypothetically, they do that in 26. Mm-hmm. There's no work stoppage in 27, which I don't think is going to happen. So then they're $30, $40 million in the red. What does a payroll look like in 27? What does a payroll look like in 28?
I can only operate this under the way I look at all of this, and I have, because I don't want to make it as simple as possible.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to support this one way or the other. What I'm saying is the valuation thing is still Bob Nuttings. That's sure. The ultimate prize he will cash in on. He's already made how much more?
Oh, the valuation of the franchise, I'm sure. He's going to get a huge payday
at the end.
When he
sells.
So
why can't you sacrifice some money in the short term to try to win, knowing that that payday, if you want it, it can come at any time?
Bob, you still have to cash flow your business, right?
Okay, but this is not a normal business.
Bob, I mean, you've been around for so long, and this is where I disagree here, because you've seen the McClatchy story pay out. There have been four different iterations of ownership in 40 years.
I understand that.
And they all had what? Cash flow problems.
Okay, but when they cash it in, if he wants to sell it, that goes away quickly. He makes a ton of money.
I suppose it does.
I mean, look at the Penguins. When the Fenway Sports Group bought them, it was under $1 billion. They had three losing seasons where they lost money every year, from what I'm told. And they still are going to make $1.5 billion when they sell it.
So do you want him to operate this thing like Howard Baldwin? Is that what you're suggesting?
No, what I'm saying is we have a short window. All I'm saying is I'm not saying every year you have to go and just lose money. What I'm saying is they've made money, in my view. And so once in a while, with an opportunity to win, that you just go out and do it and spend over what you're maybe capable of spending or should spend. And that's all I'm saying, because otherwise you're going to end up with the same kind of offseason that we saw last year.
And let's hypothetically say they do that. It doesn't work, and they get to 81, 82 wins. Then what? I mean,
when you can't agree on what to order or you're settling for whatever, mealtime can be a major. That's where Wonder comes in. Download the app for access to everything you're craving. Mix and match hundreds of freshly prepared dishes from menus by renowned chefs, delivered in one order. Say goodbye to compromise. From poke bowls to filet mignon, it's all on Wonder. Order fast, free delivery, or pick up and dine in at a Wonder location near you. Wonder, the cravings expert. Get the app today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And that's the risk. That's the other side of, like, if that
take risks once in a while.
I understand that, but you take a risk. Pittsburgh, as you know, Bob, does not have the pliability to bounce back. If you take that, that's a big risk.
How do they do it in Cleveland and Milwaukee then?
Well, better baseball operations. Full stop. Better baseball, right?
Full stop. Yeah.
Yeah, but better baseball. That's where the ire and the frustration needs to be. Like, okay, payroll is, like, as I've always said on my shows, that's a factor, but it's not the factor. Get your house in order. Payroll, free agency spending. That's window dressing. That's crown molding. That's drapery. How about the foundation, the walls, the roof? Like, before
well,
we start
they
talking
have,
about
they
that,
have to say the best foundation going in baseball now. The best. You know, you have a guy who's a number one prospect. That's another. Let's forget that
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
We'll move on to that. Should he be here to start the season?
Connor Griffin?
Yes.
Oh, 100%. I think so. I don't think so.
Do you think they will do it?
No, absolutely not.
And the reason? Super 2, money, everything?
No, because I would give him a I would make that completely irrelevant. Not only would I bring him up, I would be actively engaged with him 6 months ago, to have a contract in place before he ever plays his first major league game. So the things that you're suggesting are completely non-factors.
Right. If he has like Jackson Churio did.
100%, or maybe even Bobby Witt to a certain extent. Witt. So yep. Make that a non-factor. And I don't think that that necessarily would be a factor because, I mean, doesn't Jared Jones, or maybe it doesn't in your eyes, does Jared Jones and then bringing him up out of camp and winning a job, does that hopefully negate the conspiracies of Super 2? Or no,
and that's why I would do it, because they did it already.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. They showed in that case they felt he was ready and mature enough to handle it, and he did. And I think this kid has the same thing. So all I'm saying is if you're not going to go out and spend the kind of money I'm suggesting to spend, which I guess I brought up Suarez and I brought up Alonso here as potential. And again,
no, if it were, not happening.
I would try to make it happen.
I would be far more aggressive in trading guys, maybe with an extra year of control. How about, I don't know, Tampa Bay, right? Brandon Lau coming off a 30-homer season. Probably Tampa Bay wanting to get off a little bit of that money, maybe $12, $13 million. You'd only have him for a year, but I would pay big time for that. Big time. I think you need to be far more aggressive in trading than you do in signing a 34-year-old, 35-year-old guy that's probably going to command $20 million over 3 years. So do you want to pay 34, 35, 36 seasons for a right-handed hitter that it's not conducive to really be all that productive as a right-handed hitter at PNC Park?
But he hits it the other way. He hits a lot of home runs the other way.
I
would be willing to pay it. Yes, he's 38 home runs, 127 RBIs. He has a lot of his careers left. He's 30 years old.
He's 34, I think.
Who?
Suarez.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about Alonso.
Alonso. Well, he's going to be getting. He probably wants $30 million a year,
and that's okay. I could pay it. I would do it because of what I told you before. I would do it because I finally have an opportunity
on a 1 year deal. Maybe on a 1 year deal. Like, they're not going to lock themselves into $30 million a year for how long, Bob? 5 years?
Sure.
Five. But he probably wants 8, 9, maybe even 10 years. He wants his last contract now.
I understand what you're saying, but I would look, explore. I would try to do what I can to get a guy who, because this lineup just can't exist. You're gonna find if they don't, it's gonna be the same story all year long. They're gonna get well pitched games. They're gonna fall short. And yeah, you may think they have the answers internally. I want to see proof of that. I haven't.
I don't. No. I don't.
What kind of free agent would you be looking for then?
I would be looking to trade more. I would be looking to trade prospects more if you have the best farm system that you think you do,
right?
Especially at the lower levels in the minor leagues. I wouldn't prospect hoard. I would be far more aggressive in trades. I would move off of Keller and then try to take whatever money with an increase, probably slightly in payroll, get it close to $100 million, which I don't think is an obscene thought. 120, yeah, you're venturing in when revenues are down 11%. And then you're trying to increase payroll upwards of $40 million. Obviously, from a business side of things, those two don't work together well.
But if it works and you win, how much do revenues go up?
I mean, you could probably afford a $125 million, $130 million payroll.
Well, that's the risk you take.
If you were drawing 2.5 million fans, as they did in 2015, they come in and their 40 man was, I think, knocking on the door to 120. So that's basically the ceiling. For this team.
But that's fine if you can achieve it by trying to put together a better team.
Mm-hmm.
That also has a residual effect, too. People will spend money in a lot of ways that they aren't doing it right now. That's why I would take a risk.
Yeah, I mean, and if the risk doesn't work, well, then what does 27, 28, 29, 30 look like? Probably not very good.
We've had a lot of not very good here, so I'm 100%. I'm willing to go for a couple years.
And the reason why we've had a lot not very good, Bob, and you know the history here, 2006, Major League Baseball about to intervene and take over operations of baseball. Why? Because they did all of that. They did everything that you're suggesting, and it didn't work, from Mears to Kendall to Young to Derek Bell to, I mean, you name it, all the things that they've already done and tried. That's how the guy got the ownership keys to PNC Park to begin with. How did Bob Nutting get here? We never asked that question, right?
Well, he's glad he's here, I can tell you that.
Sure. And he acquired it by buying out debt.
Okay. But again, at some point, what's the purpose of saying what they say if they can't back it up?
It's blowing up the system. That's what we got to do, blow up the system.
Well, how many times can a system be blown up? Right. I mean, it's been blown up.
Not the Pirates blowing it up. Oh, I'm just talking
baseball economics.
The ecosystem.
Yeah. Well,
the
I agree with that. I've said that forever. I just don't understand why it's taken this long. I can't believe that this league would allow it to go the way it's going. And you can have such a difference in payrolls.
They don't care.
But they should care.
I
agree. For the betterment of the league. They don't care.
I agree. And that's why.
That would take all the, the situation. Instead of trying to worry about what you can spend, you know what you have to spend and you're forced to spend. So
that's why the NFL's king, because every Sunday,
and that's
Bob,
why decisions making matter, and there is no small market declaration. You don't have Pittsburgh looked as a small market in any of these sports except baseball.
And they had a 12-26 team in early May with their fan base checked out. That's what baseball has. 1/30 of their entire product, fan base checked out. Anyway.
All right, so real quick before I let you go, what do you expect in this offseason, though? If you give me amount of money that, and you say trade, so that will save them money. If they trade Keller, they're going to save money. But what can you get for Mitch Keller at this point?
Maybe a replacement level bat, but I think the motivation in dealing him is, I think you can get a piece, not a great piece, a piece that people are they're expecting more of a return from Keller. Mm-hmm. But if you can get off of that money, reallocate it into maybe some free agent signings, or maybe, I don't know, something yet, but reallocate those dollars because you have the depth, he's expendable. I think you have a lot more ability to play in the free agency market. But I'm trying to you need three pieces, right? You need three bats at least, plus internal improvement. They're not in a good spot at all as we sit here today. But you need three major league ready bats, somebody that can come in and contribute. So you could do that, maybe one of those pieces, maybe two of those pieces, probably one. But one of those pieces is going to come from free agency, and it's not going to be these five-year bargain basement, Rowdy Tellez, Vogelback, Tommy Pham types. It has to be something on a multi-year deal, probably 2 years. And then you also need to make a big trade or two.
And I agree with your assessment of our prospects. They're there for a reason. If they don't get up here, they could bring you things that you need. And that's, we'll see what they do. But Dan, always appreciate your insight.
You got it, man.
And you're very good in these post-game shows. And I look forward to them next year being meaningful in September. That's what we need to have somehow, some way.
I mean, one can only hope.
Dan Zangrilli joins us every week. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, Brian Batko, who's been over at the Steelers, will give us an update on what's going over there as he spoke with some of the coordinators. I believe the players are not even going to practice this week. They're just going to have normally they practice on Wednesdays and Thursdays, and then they're gone. But I think this is different this week, and I think they're obviously very happy that they're 3-1, and they're kind of giving the players a break.
When you can't agree on what to order or you're settling for whatever, mealtime can be a major. That's where Wonder comes in. Download the app for access to everything you're craving. Mix and match hundreds of freshly prepared dishes from menus by renowned chefs, delivered in one order. Say goodbye to compromise. From poke bowls to filet mignon, it's all on Wonder. Order fast, free delivery, or pick up and dine in at a Wonder location near you. Wonder, the cravings expert. Get the app today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with Pomp and Joe here. The Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh Trusted Plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Right now we're being joined by Brian Batko of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He's over at Steelers practice. And Brian, good to talk to you. And I'm just curious, was there a lot of activity there? Are they practicing this week at all? Or is it strictly just, you know, look at some film and just enjoy a 3-1 bye week?
No, I think it was a lot more of the latter, Bob. And hello, good to talk to you as
you
well. There wasn't much going on there today at all. We talked to a few assistant coaches. Some players were still there working out. But when I landed at the Pittsburgh airport yesterday after my lengthy trip to Dublin, I actually walked by some of the Steelers players sitting at their gates. So I think Mike Tomlin cut most of them loose yesterday, or everybody loose yesterday if they wanted to go.
You make it sound like you had travel problems, yes?
Yes. Yes, oh. I did. I was stuck in Dublin an extra night. They overbooked my flight. I don't even know if my wife believes that that really happened. She probably thinks I just opted for an extended vacation.
More Guinness.
I swear on my life, that was the issue.
All right, let's talk about what you saw out there and where you are in this 3-1 start, because the rest of the AFC North seems to be falling apart here. Injuries are looming on key positions. We know about Joe Burrow and how bad Cincinnati's defense is, but now Baltimore has been bitten by this. How good do you feel about the Steelers a quarter of the way through this season?
Yeah, I think it's been a successful four-game stretch for them, even though I thought they were going to go 4-0 to start the season. I thought they might even go 5-0 with how light their schedule was early on. But now, like you said there, I mean, matchups with the Bengals and even the Browns don't look as daunting. I wonder if Mike Tomlin will drill into the guys to make sure they keep Dylan Gabriel upright so Joe Flacco doesn't have to come into the game in week 5. But yeah, I mean, in Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, I tend to think that their struggles are more about the quality of opponents they've played, and water will find its level there at some point. But if his hamstring injury is a real thing, then suddenly their season could be sort of like the Bengals with Joe Burrow a couple years ago. So yeah, it's a battle of attrition right now in the AFC North, and having some guys dinged up in the secondary pales in comparison to what their biggest rivals are dealing with.
Were you of the belief that a bye week in week 5 was good for a team, or now, given the fact that they have these nagging injuries, it's actually going to serve the Steelers well?
I think it's generally not good to have that early bye week, but for where they are health-wise in the season, I think, like Aaron Rodgers said after the game, it actually does kind of come at a good time. But I also knock on wood there a little bit, because who knows who could be dealing with injuries later on in the year. I feel like pretty much everybody on a roster goes through it at some point, whether they miss a game or two or three or not. They're usually sore. They're not playing their best football. So, but right now with Jalen Ramsey, Jalen Warren, Joey Porter Jr., now Calvin Austin most likely needing some time to heal up. Maybe it does help to have this early, but I still think, though, Bob, when we get into the end of the year and they're facing the Ravens, Dolphins, Lions, Browns, Ravens again, I didn't even mention the Bills, the Bears, who might be playing a little bit better, you might be needing a break at some point in that stretch as well.
Yeah, they have a couple of those mini bye weeks after Thursday, but they're not the same as this. So Brian Batko's the Post-Gazette is joining us right now. Brian, I want to ask you about what you saw from the offense in Dublin, Ireland, the offensive line specific. I mean, they made a concerted effort, it looked like, from my vantage point, that they were just going to run the football regardless who was back there. And they did it by, you know, bringing in Anderson, moving Darnell Washington to a point where he got more snaps than any of these other tight ends. It was good for that game. Moving forward, how often can they do that with their offensive planning?
Yeah, I don't know how sustainable that is. I think they threw a curveball at the Vikings with that plan, and credit Arthur Smith for designing that and, you know, pulling it off too. With the execution, now it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows. You know, they could have picked up some more short yardage situations when they needed them to move the chains later in the game, and the blocking wasn't there. But if you had told me that Kenneth Gainwell was going to be their workhorse for the day and Jalen Warren was going to be in street clothes, I don't think I would have predicted 99 rushing yards for the number one back and 5 yards per carry and some change. So give credit to Gainwell for running hard. Give credit to the offense for, you know, dominating the line of scrimmage and opening up more holes, certainly, than they had to this point. But, you know, you're going to need to probably get them to a level where you don't necessarily need to use Darnell Washington so much as a sixth lineman, let alone Spencer Anderson as an actual tackle eligible. And that'll make you a little bit more multiple with what you can do sending Jonnu Smith and Pat Freiermuth out on routes. But hey, it's all about engineering a game plan to get you out of that week. And they had some challenges that week in Dublin against a pretty good Vikings front.
Do you think Spencer Anderson had more public address announcements that 74 eligible than Zach Banner had his entire career?
I don't know. They were doing it a lot with Banner that season, so I'd have to go back and
seems like every possession, though, they announced it this time.
Yeah, and I remember Randy Feetner coining the term nipple rubber back then for the guy coming on and wiping his chest to do that tackle-eligible symbol. But, yeah, I mean, good for Spencer Anderson. He's a good locker room guy and normally just serves as a valuable depth piece that they can plug in there if anyone goes down. But he also, let's not forget, he had to play some snaps at left guard too because Isaac Seumalo was right. dealing with an injury or an equipment issue at one point. And actually on the Connor Hayward, I don't call it the tush-push, tight end sneak. I like Pittsburgh plunge. Bob, use your immense voice in Pittsburgh media to get that to catch on. But when they ran the Pittsburgh plunge with Connor Hayward, Spencer Anderson was in there, not Seumalo.
The Pittsburgh plunge. Yeah, that's a good one. We'll have to get that out there, courtesy of Brian Batko. One more for you, Brian, before I let you go. You said you thought the Steelers would be 4-0. So now I'm assuming you think they may have been as good as 6-0, given the two opponents coming up, both AFC North, Cleveland, then Cincinnati. Or did you think at the time that one of those was going to be tough to win and maybe, 5-1 would be your first six prediction?
I thought at the time, and I've got my Steelers schedule note app on my phone up, which I keep in a safe place in case I need to refer to it, hold myself accountable, look at the receipts. I didn't think they would win on a short week going to Cincinnati for Thursday night football. And maybe they still won't, but I feel a lot better about getting that done against Jake Browning, who appears to be turning back into a pumpkin here, and not just because he wears an orange helmet with the Bengals, but maybe they'll be 5-1 anyway, and they'll get there by a different means. And I don't know. I guess we'll see what Dylan Gabriel does this week for the Browns. I forget who they're playing off the top of my head.
They're in London.
Yeah. So he's gonna, that whole team's gonna be coming off of a pretty brutal travel back from across the pond, and the Steelers will be benefiting from all that extra rest with the bye week. So you absolutely need to win that game at home against a rookie quarterback who will be making his second start. But if he dices up the Vikings, then maybe there will be some trepidation about facing Cleveland at Acrisure Stadium.
Chances are he won't. He'll be like most Cleveland quarterbacks and underdeliver. But we'll see. I mean, I liked him at Oregon, certainly. We'll see what he does in this. Brian, always appreciate it. Thanks for joining us here. And I'm sorry you had a tough trip back, but you'll get over the jet lag. It happens pretty quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great trip overall, especially our dinner together Thursday night.
Yeah, a lot of fun there. That was a great place, by the way.
Absolutely.
All right, Brian, thank you so much.
All right, we'll
appreciate
see you both.
It. And we'll talk to you again next week. That's Brian Batko of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Want to tell you about the 50-minute mark on the Fan. It's coming up here in a matter of 5 minutes. It's brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. And What's Cooking is brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
The weather for today is a high of Troy Faitanu, 76, a low of Edmund Nelson, 64. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. And so tomorrow we have another busy day. Why don't you set the table, Austin, for everybody?
Yeah, Bob, we do. We will talk to Tyler Kennedy, who has a very...
Tyler Kennedy.
He's a very special guest that's coming in with us. I believe it's next week. I'm going to confirm to make
another
sure
one of his former teammates.
Tomorrow.
Yes,
another one of his former teammates on a Stanley Cup winning team.
That was good when we had Max Talbot on. I thought that was fun, and we'll get somebody like that too, Tyler.
That was fun.
Yeah, so and then of course Chris Hokey, Bro 76.
Yes, Hokey will join us at 11 o'clock. That'll be very exciting. Hokey's breakdown of the last game. We'll preview how the Steelers will play against the bye week, Bob. A game that you can always win. And never lose.
You never lose. It's undefeated so far, so that's
right.
Good. Chris will be – I haven't talked to him since the Dublin trip. He did not go over there, but I'm curious of his thoughts about that game. And because I knew going in that he thought there would have some hiccups maybe, potentially, with the O'Connell/Flores situation. But they did a good job. I thought the Steelers out-coached that team, out-schemed that team, especially early, and then things changed at the end. But – hey, they got to win. Isn't that what it's all about? We talk about results for the Pirates. But results are 3-1 for the Pittsburgh Steelers, regardless of what you think.
Did you see the jersey that Jerome Bettis was wearing at the stadium? His own 36 jersey? It looked like a DH Gate jersey. It looked like somebody shipped it in for him that was like $30 online. It didn't look like a real Steeler jersey that you'd buy, like at the team store.
No, I didn't notice
somewhere else.
I saw him a previous day golfing. And he had a really nice golf outfit. He's big into golf now. You know that. He's turned his game into a real significant game.
Him and Ben were there, though. They were hanging out. Yep. Ben had a mic on him There was a mic'd up moment that they put out on social media.
He had to warn somebody, hey, I'm wearing the mic. I forgot who it was. You never know what you're going to get on those situations.
Oh, yeah. He was there with Tomlin chatting it up. That was pretty cool. We still have a couple more minutes here, Bob. We have a little bit more time today. We have about 5 minutes until we hand the baton over to the PM team.
So we haven't talked about Pitt. Just real quick. They got some issues here. They're not.
Yes.
We have the game this coming weekend here. Boston College comes to town. Our pregame show begins at 9 a.m., by the way. So they are in desperate need of a win. The question is Eli Holstein their quarterback in this game? I know he was yanked last week. I did not see Pat Narduzzi's press conference this week. Did he indicate anything or game time decision?
Well, I think they're going to have some things to think about, but I would be really surprised if they bench Eli Holstein. How much that they've invested in him, whether it be on the field or off the field?
Well, the only reason I said that is because their offensive coordinator, I think, was chiefly responsible for bringing Gonzalez in here.
Right.
So he obviously likes him. I don't know how that plays out, but they need to do much better. And when you have a big lead the way they had last week and they just let it go away, man, that's a tough one to overcome.
17 points they were up by.
Yeah. So
that's why I thought it was really funny on Twitter on Saturday night. After the Penn State loss, all the Pitt fans were going at him and being like, ha-ha, look at you. The Penn State fans were going back and saying, you had a 17-point lead at home against Louisville.
I know.
Everybody should just be quiet and take your losses and take the lumps.
Well, we'll see. I think moving forward now for Penn State, they got a tough road to hoe. And I didn't think that originally. I thought they were going to beat Oregon since they didn't. We talked about back-to-back games. Their whole season comes down to Ohio State and Indiana back-to-back games.
Yeah,
and Ohio State is first, right?
Ohio State is first, so they're on November 1st.
Right, and they're going to be in the shoe over there to do that, then Indiana, but it's tough. Those two teams are going to be really good and a good example of what Penn State has to do to get to this playoff again. I still think they're going to make it because I thought they'd win a national championship. How wrong I could be, maybe.
Yeah, and I mean, it is one game. The more and more time I've had to think about it, I've tried to put that mindset into my mind a little bit, especially after what Ohio State did last year, but that's still – I don't like James Franklin comparing – his program to Ohio State and Ohio State having two losses because that's a team you cannot beat to get over the hump. You've had so much problems and struggles against them. Maybe if you beat Ohio State and lose to Indiana, okay, you could say that.
I'd like to see them come out and do something more confidently. You know, just go out and start zinging the football around to a different, whatever the case, a different kind of an offensive approach, which I don't think is in their DNA. They don't like doing that.
They played timid.
You can't play timid. Not in those games. You got to do something different. That's going to wrap us up. Austin, thanks as always. See you tomorrow back here at 10 o'clock as we begin another day.
And we'll also have Jeff joining us tomorrow.
Jeff Fathorn will be here. Yeah, so look forward to that. We thank you for listening to our program today. And as I said, Joe will be back on Monday, hopefully. And we'll look forward to seeing him back here after what has been a tough week for him. But we'll get into that on Monday. And in the meantime, thank you for joining us. Coming up next, it's Andrew Filippone and Chris Muller. It's the PM team, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.